Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Thanks for allowing us to share this time with you. Honestly, it's our favorite time of the day where we get to hang out together and talk about how the truth of God's Word can make a huge difference in your life. And that's what we're going to hear from Richard in a way that only he can do, with words of hope, insight, and humor. You may be stuck in traffic or stuck in life. Either way, today's message is going to help get you on the right track as you learn how much God loves you right where you are. So let's get right into today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Foreigner. I want us to look at Acts chapter 10 today and kind of an amazing pivotal moment in the church and where things switch from being just us to us and them a little bit. And could stretch not only Peter in this case in the story and the Jewish people of that day who had converted to Christianity, but some of the principles that apply to us today and can stretch us as well. And in the Old Testament, New Testament context, a foreigner was a Gentile, basically. The one word would sum it all up. Such as resided among the Hebrews were required by the law to be treated with kindness. And there's a bunch of places where you can see that reflected in Exodus and Leviticus and Deuteronomy. They enjoyed in many things equal rights with the native-born residents. They were kind to them. They also allowed them to live amongst them, but were not allowed to do anything which was an abomination according to Jewish law. So always there had been Jewish people and Gentile people commingling, so to speak, but you're going to see where it mixed up in a way that had not happened, and in Peter's case, we'll see, was not completely comfortable with what would go along with that. Now, what I also want you to observe before we get into this is there are things going on, at least in chapter 10, in two different cities. Simultaneously, God is at work in two different places, and one being completely maybe unaware of what's going on in the other place. And when we get done, hopefully you'll see the importance of this in our own lives, that God is working both sides of the deal. When you think it's just you and things are going on with just you, you will see how he works both ends. There was a certain man in Caesarea, a few miles up the coast to the north, called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment. Now look at how he is characterized. We know what he did, but look at verse 2. A devout man and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, Cornelius, spoke his name. An angel shows up and speaks his name. Now, I want to camp on verse 2 a little bit and show you that there are good people out there in the world, and it is possible to be a good person and even a God-seeking person and still not be connected with God. And sometimes we think of foreign people or Gentile people or Greeks in the case of this day as being the pagans, the heathen, the unbelievers, and that they were bad people. Look at the list here. He was devout. He feared God. He gave alms generously to the people. He prayed to God always, and he is praying that day, and an angel shows up and says, Cornelius, speaks his name. Verse 4, and when he observed him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? So he said to him, your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. In other words, you think you've just been doing this all this time. There's nothing to it. God has seen basically who you are and what you've been doing. Now look at the instructions, specific instructions from this angel to Cornelius. Now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. Don't go after just any Simon. Simon, whose surname is Peter. And now here's where he is. He is lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. He will tell you what you must do. Now, I have never, as far as I know, it may have happened, I just don't know it. I have never, in my knowledge, had an angel appear to me and tell me to do something. That's why I did it. I've had people that I've known, sometimes strangers walk up and say stranger things than others, and you kind of wonder sometimes. And the Bible talks about being careful that you entertain angels unaware. In this case, he's praying, an angel shows up and gives him specific instructions. Now, I have had this experience where I knew that the Holy Spirit who lives in me, and in this case, as you'll see later in the scriptures, this Cornelius guy did not have the Holy Spirit living in him yet, so maybe the only way in this case was for an angel to communicate with him. Now, you say, well, maybe that's true, maybe not. You'll see in a few minutes that Peter had someone appear to him as well, and we'll get to that in a second. But what happens here is an angel shows up, giving him specific location, names, here's where you go. He will tell you what you must do. Verse 7, and when the angel who spoke to him had departed, look what Cornelius does. Cornelius called two of his household servants and a devout soldier from among those who waited on him continually. So when he had explained all these things to them, he sent them to Joppa. Now, what is another characteristic of this guy? He obeyed what he was told. Now, guys, I cannot tell you enough how important it is to respond to God when he speaks to you and do what he tells you to do when he tells you to do it. Because the timing of these things is unbelievable. What God has had to orchestrate before the foundation of the world and get things in motion, people going places, and he instructs you to go someplace or make this turn or that turn. You say, well, I don't want to do that. I don't have to do that. Literally, an eternal intersection can be at stake in your obedience or not obeying. And here, Cornelius gets the instructions. Sure, he's a little afraid. You would be too if an angel had shown up in your quiet time. Tells him to go to Joppa. He gets these three guys in the room, says, here's what happened to me, and says, you go now. So when he'd explained these things to them, he sent them to Joppa. So they are in motion. They are on their way to Joppa doing what Cornelius said. Now, jump the next day, verse 9. The next day, as they went on their journey and drew near the city, the exact timing of these things, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. It's his time. He goes up to pray. Verse 10, then he became very hungry and wanted to eat. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners descending to him and let down to the earth. In it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And a voice came to Peter, rise, Peter, kill and eat. This sheet comes down full of animals that he is supposed to have nothing to do with. And if you want to go back and read this at some point about Levitical law, the laws in Leviticus and Deuteronomy, Leviticus chapter 11, Deuteronomy chapter 14 will spell out what they could and could not eat and why, and just strict rules. And all of a sudden, this sheet is lowered down while he's in a trance. He sees all these animals, and who speaks to him? A voice comes and says, rise, Peter, kill and eat. Now look at Peter's response. But Peter said, not so, Lord. Now, you'd think Peter had figured out by now just to do what he was told. Jesus had told him, I must die and do boom, boom, all these things. He said, no way, you're not dying. We're going to stop that. And he said, you know what? Get behind me, Satan. Here Peter is again, and he hears a voice, God speaking to him, not so, Lord. He said, Lord, so he knew who was talking to him. Peter said, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean. Now, here's what I find fascinating. He has never eaten anything common or unclean, it sounds like, but he's denied Jesus three times, cussing at a fireside, saying, I never knew him. But somehow the fact that, oh, but I haven't eaten these things. We have all these ways of justifying our behavior and our thoughts and saying, well, I've never done that. I've done this, but I've never done that, so that'll worth something. He says, not so, Lord, for I've never eaten anything. In other words, well, I would never, you know, you're not getting me to do this. I've gone a long way with you, but I'm not crossing this line, period. All right, look at verse 15. And a voice spoke to him again the second time. What God has cleansed, you must not call common. And it's interesting with Peter, it always takes three times for some reason. What God has cleansed, you must not call common. I'm telling you, Peter, rise, kill, and eat. You can do this. It's okay. I'm telling you over and over. Verse 16, this was done three times, and the object was taken up into heaven again. Now, he's had this vision, God speaking to him, seeing this bizarre stuff, having to violate everything that he's been raised and told is not the appropriate thing to do. And verse 17, now, while Peter wondered within himself what this vision which he had seen meant, behold, the men who had been sent from Cornelius made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. And they called and asked whether Simon, whose surname was Peter, was lodging there. Now, the timing of this is unbelievable. These guys had been sent the day before. They were told to go. They had to go at a certain pace. The Holy Spirit times this thing with Peter so that he is on the roof. He's hungry. Lunch is a little late. He sees this vision. Everything's coming together. And literally when all this is happening, they come to the door and say, is this where Simon, whose surname was Peter, was lodging? Verse 19, while Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, and I think it's very important to point this out, an angel went to Cornelius. The Spirit, God himself, is speaking to Peter. And this same Spirit, if you claim to be a Christian, lives in you as a Christian and can communicate with you, whether it's an audible voice, it has never been that with me, it is an internal prompting, an internal voice, and God can tell you now, do it, go, drive here, stop here, do what I'm telling you to do. And when He does it, guys, He is always working both sides. It is never in a vacuum. And if you are, I can't even think of all the ways. There are times and places, restaurants even, you go to eat. And I think, I don't want to eat there. And it's like somebody says, just do what I'm telling you to do. Go eat there. And you get in there and you see someone you haven't seen in a long time. And all of a sudden you engage in conversation. And God has been working both sides the whole time. And timing is everything. Just doing what you're told. So while Peter, verse 19, thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, behold, three men are seeking you. Arise therefore, go down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Now at some point, God's will, and I'm not saying you hear some bizarre voice and do anything you hear. If you're walking with God, you're talking with God, you know God, at some point, when God tells you to do something, it may override everything you're comfortable with in terms of tradition. You say, well, we can't do that. You've got to pray first and say, Father, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go beyond my comfort zone? Now, you're going to see where he ends up as a result of this. So Peter's had this experience. Verse 21, then Peter went down to the men who had been sent to him from Cornelius and said, yes, I am he whom you seek. For what reason have you come? And they said, Cornelius, the centurion, a just man, one who fears God and has a good reputation among all the nation of the Jews, was divinely instructed by a holy angel to summon you to his house and to hear words from you. Then he invited them in and lodged them. On the next day, Peter went with them, and some brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And the following day, they entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius, now look at what's going on, how God is working in Cornelius' life. Cornelius, 2 days before, has sent these guys. They've gone, gotten there, they spent the night. Peter says, okay, I'll go with you. And 2 days later, what's happened in Cornelius' house? The following day, they come into Caesarea. Cornelius was waiting for them and had called together his relatives and close friends. He had a house full of people waiting for Peter to show up because he figured if God told him to send for Peter, then God would tell Peter to do what he was supposed to do, and Peter was going to show up, and he had spent the whole time gathering friends and relatives to be in his house ready to hear what God had to say to him and to them. Now, the problem with this is they're all a bunch of foreigners. And this is not them coming to Peter. This is God making Peter get completely out of his comfort zone, go to them, to their house, to their city, to their surroundings, and do something that he has never done before. Now look what happens when he gets in there. As Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshiped him. Now here's the danger with Christian leadership. People finally meet you and know you know God. And they get so mesmerized and enthralled by who you are and what you got, they want to worship you. But look what Peter says. Peter lifted him up saying, stand up, I also am a man. Don't be worshiping me. I'm going to tell you about somebody you can worship, but don't be coming to me. Don't be thinking something big deal about me. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many who had come together. Then he said to them, you know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with or go to one of another nation. In other words, Peter's just kind of reminding them, they know this, you know what, I'm not supposed to be here. And I'm telling you guys, this is not easy stuff for even Peter. Because some of you, like Peter, I'm talking to you about doing stuff at some point in your life that may, quote unquote, violate everything you've been told. You think if you go to some place or do something that is a little bit out of the box, that you are disobeying God. No, you're just breaking some tradition that's been poured into you for years, and you think it's evil if you do it. So Peter goes the distance. He obeys God, violates everything in him that says, no, Lord. He even told God no, but then he said, okay, I'll go. So he shows up there, verse 27, and as he talked with them, he went in and found many who had come together. Then he said to them, you know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with you or go into one of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Let me tell you something, we're all common and we are all unclean until Jesus gets a hold of us. The danger is that we get saved and all cleaned up, think we're somebody now, we're all better than that. It should make us even more equipped and more able to go into places that nobody would go, because if we don't, nobody's going to and they're not going to get it. So he gives them the ground rules and says, I shouldn't be here, but God has told me that I should not call anybody common or unclean. Verse 29, therefore I came without objection as soon as I was sent for. Now that is true. The objection was during the prayer time up there on the roof. I came without objection as soon as I was sent for. He had worked it out with God and agreed to go when the guy showed up. Then he says in verse 29, I ask then, for what reason have you sent for me? What do you want me to do? I'm here. So Cornelius said, he starts telling his side of the story. There is always two sides of the story. And if you will just say, God, I don't know what you're doing. I don't get it. I couldn't get it even if I knew and could see it. I'm going to obey you with as much information as I have. I'm going to take the steps I'm supposed to take. And you're going to have to cover the other side. And I may never know what's going on with my own family, with my wife, my husband, my kids, my coworkers. I'm gonna invite them and you're gonna have to worry about the other side. Sometimes you hesitate. You gotta be talking and walking with God for this to work. And when he speaks and tells you to go and do something, even Peter argued a little bit, but why are you gonna waste your whole life arguing with God? The sooner you cut to the chase and do it, the sooner we all get on with our lives. What do you want me to say to you? For what reason have you sent for me? Verse 30. So Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your alms are remembered in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call Simon here, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simon a tanner by the sea. When he comes, he will speak to you. So I sent to you immediately, and you have done well to come. Now, therefore, we are all present before God to hear all the things commanded you by God. We're here to listen. Now, what has he done to this point? You say, well, why do they keep repeating the story? You know what? That is Cornelius' story up to that point. He is giving his what? He is being a witness. He is giving his testimony, saying to Peter, we know because we're reading the account. But now Peter is hearing what happened to Cornelius, and everybody in his house, family and friends, are hearing what's going on and how God has orchestrated an angel showing up with Cornelius. Cornelius sent his three guys to get Peter. Peter's showing up, and here they are. And why have you got us in your house? And then he says, to hear all the things God commanded you by God. Verse 34, then Peter opened his mouth. And I know there's a lot of times you wish I wouldn't, or you got friends you wish they would not open their mouth. But there's a time, guys, when it is time to open your mouth. And when God gives you something to say and it's time to say it, you spit it out. Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. Now pick up with me in verse 36 again. He said to them, we'll go 34, 35, but in every nation, whoever fears him, works righteousness, is accepted by him. Then verse 36, the word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem. And look what he inserts here. He's just telling the story to these guys in Cornelius, these people in Cornelius' house, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly. Now that is the gospel. What is he including in here? He starts talking about Jesus. Says, you've heard of Jesus. You cannot live in this part of the world and have not heard of Jesus and what he did, that God anointed him with the Holy Spirit with power. He did good works. He healed those who were oppressed by the devil. God was with him. We are witnesses of all these things that happened to the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him, hanged him on a tree, and God raised him up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before by God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. In other words, Peter is saying, I'm not just telling you a story about some guy who lived and died and did all these miraculous things. I have seen him. I saw him before he died. I've seen him since he died and was raised from the dead. I am a witness to the facts of the gospel, that he died and was raised from the dead. Verse 42, and he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. Now, how long did it take me to read verse 36 and following? It does not take you long to share the gospel. Peter said, "What do you want me to do?" They said, "Tell us the story. We're here to listen to what God has to say." And Peter, in a paragraph, in a matter of moments, shares the gospel clearly, succinctly, throws in there that he was killed by hanging on a tree and God raised him up the third day. He's alive. All the prophecies witness that through his name, and look at this, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. Now, whether you know this or remember this or not, everybody around you, including you and me today, even as believers, the one thing that changes our whole lives is the certainty and the knowledge of the fact that God can absolutely, completely forgive us of our sins. Even as a Christian, you screw up and you feel like an idiot. You feel like a heel. You feel like nobody. You think, why would I do this over and over and go back to this old life? And you almost feel like crawling into the throne room and he says to come boldly and you say, God, what am I thinking? I'm not thinking. Why would I live the old life again? And the promise, the certainty that when you confess your sins, he is faithful, he is just, and he will forgive you of those sins. And sometimes if you're a Christian and you've been a Christian a long time, you take that for granted. There are people walking around who have done things you cannot even speak of in mixed company. And they carry this stuff, things from their childhood that have happened to them, things from their youth or teens or 20s or somewhere along the way they've done, forget that, into their 30s, 40s, and 50s. And they can't shake it. They can't get away from it. And they need God to forgive them and they don't know how to connect with him. And they're not going to come to a church. And maybe it takes you getting a bunch of friends and throwing a party at your house and inviting someone who can articulate the gospel over and at some point say, you know what? You're going to stop a minute and listen because this is what's changed my life and we're going to find out how your life gets changed too. Throw a party. Rent a nightclub. Whatever we have to do, let's get outside the gates where people are, where Jesus died, and go after them. In maybe some creative ways, non-traditional ways, but go where they are and tell them this unbelievable, simple story.
Richard will be back in a moment to wrap up today's talk. But first, I want to share a couple of thoughts with you. Let's be honest. Real life isn't about living some highlight reel for others to see. Most people have deep hurts, questions, and struggles. Well, we get it, and we want to help you in any way we can. So let's keep this conversation going. You can give us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD. Or connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. You can even put in your prayer request right there on the prayer wall. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD or online at richardellistalks.com. And now let's get back to Richard with a final word on today's show.
Now look at verse 44. Peter gets interrupted. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished. Now, who's in the room? You'll see in another passage that Peter is there and he took six Jewish believers with him when he went to Caesarea, to the centurion's house. So there's seven of them watching this happen. Peter is speaking in this house to this guy's friends and relatives. And in the midst of this phrase, I guess, to him who all the prophets witness, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. Something happened in that room and somebody believed. They had heard the gospel, they had heard the truth, what they had been looking for their whole lives, and in their hearts, just like that, they believed, and something happened there that had happened weeks before at Pentecost when the Spirit fell on the Jewish believers in Jerusalem. And these of the circumcision were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Now, how would they know that they were speaking in tongues and magnifying God if they didn't understand what they were saying? They started speaking in other languages, certain dialects of other languages that these disciples understood and went, oh my gosh, they're speaking languages they don't know and I'm hearing it in my dialect. The same thing has happened to a bunch of Gentiles, a bunch of foreigners that happened to us. Now we got to be equal. Now there is no distinction. And it took them a while to absorb this, and it goes all the way back to Jerusalem, and there's no small stir or stink about this thing. Then Peter answered, look what happens. Can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? We are no better than them. And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they asked him to stay a few days. Now, guys, this seems like a simple thing, but all of a sudden, the circle went wide. And Peter is standing there with these six friends when it happens. And now what is available to Jewish people, believers, is available to everybody. And God is no respecter of persons. And the challenge with this, guys, is that most everybody in this room is a Gentile. We are all foreigners. And the grace of God is so great that He extended it not just to His chosen people, He decided to make us His chosen people and given us the opportunity to respond to Him and to choose Him as well. Now you have the opportunity to say you will. You don't have to be a foreigner anymore.
This has been Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. There's only one reason we do this program, to take the planet with the good news of Jesus Christ. That's our message and our mission. And you have a vital part of doing that along with us. If you've been encouraged by these talks with Richard, be sure to share with someone about the change they've made in your life. And we'd love to hear your story as to how the talks have made a difference to you. Give us a call. We'd love to talk with you. 855-6-RICHARD. You can also reach us through our website, richardellistalks.com. And while you're there, check out all the fun and informative pages we put together for you, richardellistalks.com. While you're there, be sure to click on the Contribute tab at the top to send your generous gift. If the program is making a difference to you, your gift will make a big difference to us. Until next time, thanks so much for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.